Time for us to get started with Bible class. So we can go ahead and take our seats and get our Bibles ready. And we'll listen to our curriculum minds and another study of the Word of God for the next 30 minutes or so. Y'all work God to death. They start asking to lead singing too. Turn your Bibles to John 8. John 8. How many are you getting along, man? 10:35. 10:35. John 8. In John the 8th chapter, and I'm going to talk to you for a little bit this morning, this Bible class time, about. I'm always interested in studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and really looking at the interaction that Jesus had with people. And one of the things you notice about Jesus again, again, and again, the scripture keeps coming back to his compassion for people. And I want to read the section in John, beginning with verse 1. Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down, and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, so get it in your mind, I doubt they were that gentle with this woman, and they bring her and they put her in the center of all of this. And they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery. In the very act. And I always wondered, where was the man? Did he escape out of the back window? I don't know. It looks to me like this is kind of a setup deal. In fact, verse 6, John hints at that. They were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. They were always trying to put Jesus between a rock and a hard place. And they had him right here. I tell you, they had him. Because if Jesus said, well, you need to do what the law of Moses said and you need to stone her to death, they would have run to the Roman authorities as fast as they could because they were under Roman civil law, which would have forbade them to do that. And so they would have run to the Roman authorities and pointed the finger at Jesus and say, he's teaching people to violate Roman law. On the other hand, if he said, well, we're just going to have to ignore the law of Moses, then they would have ridiculed him no end to the people. Some rabbi he is has no respect for Scripture. But they had him. They had him between a rock and a hard place. I want you to notice what Jesus does in verse 6. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. What did he write? What does it say? And when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman, where she was, in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go on, and from now on, sin no more. What did Jesus write on the ground? Whatever he wrote on the ground was truth. I think we can all agree to that. And if you open up commentary after commentary after commentary, all these smart people, they'll all tell you what he wrote on the ground. What he wrote on the ground were the sins of the accusers. And you know that well, that very well may be. That may be exactly what Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know because the text doesn't tell us. But I've often wondered, if whatever Jesus wrote on the ground, I often wonder, maybe it wasn't for the accusers. as much as it was for the accused. What if Jesus wrote on the ground for the benefit of the woman? What if Jesus wrote on the ground, "You are loved. You have worth. You are forgiven." He could have written that on the ground, because he could read her heart. The way that Jesus showed compassion for people, and often the untouchables of his society, was unheard of in his culture. And this is just one illustration of his gentleness and his kindness with people, because he could read their hearts, and he knew. He knew exactly where they were. And he did not ignore them, ever. If you back up to Luke's account in Luke chapter 7, let's go back to the previous biography. In Luke 7, beginning in verse 11, there's another case. Luke 7, beginning in verse 11. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. As he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, which was a no-no in that culture. And the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And fear gripped them all. I guess so. And they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." For a rabbi, for a Jewish rabbi to reach out and touch a coffin would have been taboo. Jesus just broke through that culture. And the point is, when Jesus walked on this earth, Jesus had a heart for broken people. He healed their sick. He restored their sight. He spoke words that challenged them, yes. Challenged them to a higher, righteous, holy life. But also address their fears like no other rabbi ever had, because he cared for people. And the people who came to him, the suffering people, they received his time, and they received his attention, and they received one-on-one care like nobody had ever given them. Back in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and verse 36. Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Jesus was going through all of the cities and villages. And I want you to notice, Jesus just didn't go to the big towns, to the big cities. He went out to the villages. He went out in the countryside. Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Because they were distressed. You know, the word distressed literally is our word harassed. Harassed. And sometimes it was the religious leaders harassing them. And then the New American Standard uses the word dispirited. That word literally means to be thrown down, to be cast aside. Jesus came and gave his time and attention for people who had just been cast aside, the castaways of society. Kind of like me. And he came for them, and he gave them his time and attention. I think we skipped Mark. Let's make sure Mark is included here. Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 40, because all four of these writers give us these scenes, and we're just looking quickly at a few. 1 and verse 40. A leper came to Jesus. A leper. And the leper was beseeching him and falling on his knees before him. Listen, in that culture, if they saw a leper coming on the same side of the street they were on, they would go to the other side of the street, completely ignore him. Because lepers were outcasts. Not to Jesus. He pleaded with Jesus in verse 40, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Move with compassion. Jesus, hold it right there. Don't come any closer. Stretched out his hand and touched him and said, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. You want to see a picture of compassion? That picture is named Jesus. And you can go through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And you see picture after picture of the compassion that Jesus had. Let's say one of us had an accident after services today, and one of us fell and broke our leg. We would do everything we could possibly do to be of great comfort to that person and provide great care to that person. For example, if we had to physically move him or her to another location, maybe from the parking lot back over here, maybe we had to physically get them out of harm's way for some reason, we would exercise tremendous care. We would do everything we could to support their weight. We would do everything we could to safely hold them. We would do everything we could not to cause more pain than they already had. I know we would. But what if the wounds we have are on the inside? The kind of wounds you can't see. Invisible. Would we not, as Jesus followers, show the same compassionate care for them? I say that because sometimes I have witnessed Christians being really hard on other Christians, on other believers, almost with a mindset that says, you need to just get over that. I've heard people say that. You need to get over that. Or I've heard people say, somebody's going through a hard, very hard, hard time. Well, time heals all wounds. Well, there's an element of truth in that. But that's probably not what they need to hear at the moment. Or, you know, I know you're going through a hard time. You know, other people are hurting too. Well, that's true. But that's probably not what they need to hear at the moment. Or, I'll tell you what's worse than all of that. Is when some of us are going through a hard time, we just kind of ignore them. We kind of set them over here out of the way, outside, out of mind. Jesus never did that. He went to these people. He went to these people and he gave them his time and attention and his compassionate care. You have to understand something about Jesus. God made himself little. God made himself little. When you look at what he gave up to come here, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, Jesus didn't show up on earth as a full-grown human at all. He came as a little bitty baby. He came as an infant. One of the most just meaningful scriptures you'll ever read is in Luke chapter 2 with old man Simeon. And old man Simeon had been promised by the Holy Spirit, the text says, that he would not taste of death until he had seen the Lord's anointed. And here come Mary and Joseph to the temple. And in this scene, old man Simeon reaches out his arms and he takes that little baby in his arms, holding him in his arms. And he looks into the face of that little child. You can read all about it in Luke chapter 2. And Simeon says, paraphrase, he says, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, because I have seen your anointing." Once he looked into the face of Jesus, he said, "Okay, I'm here." That little baby, God made himself little. And the point is, we need to make ourselves little too. How do we do it? Let me give you three things this morning. Three ways that you and I can make ourselves little. Not big, little. In interacting with other people and showing them the same compassion Jesus had. Number one, we make ourselves little by listening. By listening. You know, it's easy when somebody else is going through their stuff. It's easy to have the mindset that just automatically jumps in and says, "Well, if it were me, I would." That's called over-the-counter advice. You love getting over-the-counter advice? You ever got advice from somebody who said that? "If it were me, I would," when in your mind you're thinking, you have no idea. "Well, I understand what you're going through." You know, some people can say that and you know they know. Other people can say that and you know they have no idea what you're going through. So what Jesus shows us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what Jesus shows us is how to lean in and listen. Let me show you how that works. In John 11, when Lazarus died, remember this occasion in John 11? Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. And it is interesting in John 11 that Jesus has conversation with each of them independent of the other. And how Jesus handles Martha is different from how Jesus handles Mary. Let me show you this. In John 11, beginning verse 20, Martha approaches Jesus. And when Martha approaches Jesus, Martha comes affirming the power of Jesus and affirming her own faith in Jesus. Verse 20, Martha, therefore, when she heard Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Faith, faith. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha comes to Jesus with her faith, and Jesus assures her that Lazarus would live again. That was Martha. What about Mary? Okay, verse 31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, they were with Mary, consoling her. When they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She said the same thing her sister said. I'm sure that they rehearsed that. In other words, I'm sure they've been talking about that. "Oh, if Jesus had just been here earlier, this would not have happened." But now verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, Mary, and the Jews who were with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved." See the difference? With Martha, Jesus connected with her faith. With Mary, Jesus connected with her pain. And the point is, Jesus will meet you wherever you are. Jesus crosses the chasm of our hurt. And he's not afraid to sit with us in our sadness. And he's not afraid to sit with us and just weep. Life can be messy, and Jesus isn't afraid to wade right into it and to walk you through it. Now, leaders don't tend to do that. Over in Mark chapter 10, Mark 10, verse 42, verse 43, and verse 45. Mark 10, 42. He calls the 12 to himself. He calls the 12 and he says, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for them. You know, it's easy to be Lord and loud. Jesus shows us, lean in and listen. And be kind and compassionate. What is it he said? Come unto me all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes people just need to be heard. They need to be heard. And we need to listen. Just listen. Second, we make ourselves little by attending to the wounded. We make ourselves little by attending to the wounded. In that great Isaiah 53 passage that we know so well, talks about Jesus being a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief. Acquainted with our grief. Sometimes as we go through stuff and we go through life, sometimes our wounds can easily come from other Christians. Sometimes we can be, I hate to say it, but sometimes we can be a little arrogant in the way we approach the hurting. Sometimes we can be a little ignorant in the way we approach the hurting. Or sometimes we can be a little indifferent in the way we approach the hurting. And sometimes, if you're the one hurting, you know what it's like to have friends betray you. And Jesus knows what that's like for you. And so did Paul, and so did the others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4, Paul writes about that. He says this, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you. You're not my standard, he said. Or by any human court. They're not my standard either. I do not even examine myself. I'm not the standard. You're not my standard. I'm not my standard. Well, what is your standard? Verse 4, I am conscious of nothing against myself. Clear conscience. Yet I am not even by this acquitted. For the one who examines me is the Lord. Are you a people pleaser? I know some people who are people pleasers. They go through their life and they try to please all the people all the time. And they're miserable because you can't do it. You cannot do it. But at the same time, we have to learn to be patient with everybody else. Because they may not always be patient with us, but we in turn seek to be patient, even with those who aren't patient. But Jesus, time after time after time,
attended to the wounded. He attended to the wounded. And he did so with great care and compassion. I had breakfast the other morning with a dear friend. He was older than I am. And we were sitting in a restaurant. His wife had died 3 years ago. And when Peggy died, something in Dwight died. And he never walked into that church building again. He said, I struggled with that. He said, I was angry at God. I just quit. She was my rock. Dwight had been an alcoholic. And we sat there and he told me the story. I've heard it before. He told me again the story how that she finally had had enough. He said, I was drinking a case of beer a day. And he said, she'd had enough. She finally gave me an ultimatum. It's either you're drinking or me, you choose. He said, so I checked in, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous and started from there. And he said, Wilson, I'm 36 years sober. I made that godly woman a promise I would never drink again. And I did. And the only way I could do it is because God was with me and because I took it one day at a time. One day at a time. 36 years sober. But he said when she died, I didn't start drinking again. Because I made a promise to her. But I feel like I turned my back on God. Because he said there was a time I felt like God turned his back on me. And he said, I didn't understand. And still don't. But he said, I realize now I was wrong. I was wrong to do that. And that man had never been back in that church building for 3 years. He came every night last week. And on the last night, during the invitation song, he just had knee surgery. He stepped out of the aisle of that canyon. And he headed to the front. And I met him about three quarters of the way back. One of the shepherds stepped out and met him at the same time. And I told him, I said, why? You're not going to make this walk all by yourself. Who would you? When we got down to the front row, and others began to see what was happening. They came and sat down. Others broke loose from where they were seated, and they came and sat down with me. And I would encourage you, when somebody comes before a group of people and confesses wrong or says they need prayers or say they need encouragement, if you know that situation and you know that person, don't make them sit on the front row by themselves. You come and sit with them. That's called compassion. Another lady came forward that night, a young mom, and she's weeping, and she's feeling like she's been a failure as a mother, and she sat there, and other ladies broke free and came up and sat with her, so she didn't sit by herself. That's compassion. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus attended to wounded people. May God help us to do the same. And the last thing I'll leave with you this morning in this time is Jesus knew the value of rest. In Mark chapter 6, in Mark the 6th chapter in verse 31, he said to the 12, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. What are you doing to take care of you? When you go through the hardest of times, what are you doing to take care of you? That's not selfish. But the same Jesus said, you are to love your neighbor as what? You love yourself. You care for your neighbor like you care for yourself. If you don't care about yourself, then how are you going to care for anybody else? You know, you get on the airplane, and my fellow always tell me, they go through that rigmarole about the oxygen, man, that always comforts me, you know. In the unlikely event, we lose oxygen, you know, the mask will fall, and you know, they tell you what to do, and if anybody's even paying attention, I don't know. But they say, if you're traveling with small, I was on Southwest flight one time, they said, if you're traveling with small children, and then there's this long pause, and he says, why would you even do that? You're traveling with small children. Why? Okay. He said, but if you are, if you're traveling with small children, put the mask on your face first. And then assist your children. And that sounds selfish. Parent, you take care of yourself first. But it's not selfish. It's the opposite. Because if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to provide care for them? And that's the principle of Scripture. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah had reached his end. Remember that occasion? 1 Kings 19? Take my life, Lord. I'm not worth it. I don't want to live. And do you remember what the Lord did for him? Made him lie down and rest. And I love 1 Kings 19 and verse 5 and verse 6. He lay down and he slept. And behold, there was an angel touching him, arousing him, and said, arise, get up and eat. You slept long enough. You need to get up and eat, take nourishment. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stone. All I can think of when I read that is Panera Bread. Panera Bread. You ever walk in Panera Bread? Just breathe. Breathe that smell of hot bread baking. And I'll tell you, angels can cook. You better know it. And there was a bread cake baked on hot stones and water, so he ate and drank and lay down again. The point was, God's telling him, take care of yourself. Before God gives him any more instruction, God's going to give him more instruction. He says, I want you to take care of yourself. Because I got more things I want you. So here's the point in this brief lesson this morning. All of us here, all of us have stuff and a story. We all have stuff in our life, and we all have a story. And Jesus knows your stuff, and Jesus knows your story. And he says to you and me, I understand your hurt, I understand your pain, I understand your betrayal. I've been there too. But I'm going to help you. And I'm going to be there for you. And I'm never going to leave you. Because I want you to be the one to go help others with their stuff and their story. Jesus made himself little so that he in turn could help others. May God help us be little too, so that we can help others like you. 10:36. Sorry.
There you go.